Welcome back, dear listener, to the one and only Vagabond Dilemma. Unfortunately for today, our Henry, beloved Henry, is a little bit of a sicko boy. But to make up for it, he's prepared quite a surprise for us, which is probably the biggest plot twist of the century towards the end of the episode, so stay tuned. Plus, we finally get a pirate prompt, so yarr!
Hello, everybody.
And welcome back to the one and only Vagabond Dilemma.
To yet another episode. Yay!
That last yay really was the zinger here.
You know, should we just get the intro? No, you know what? I'm going to leave the proper intro for when we start the actual, like, meat of the episode. How about that?
Oh, I
like
that more. There's a proper intro. So what? The intro is not good enough?
No,
before the meat.
Well, listen. Listen. We'll get to it. Whatever. All right.
Fair enough.
Rudy, I brought some topics today to discuss.
Oh, wow.
Actually, let me preface this for everyone by saying this is a special mystery episode. Yay! Also, I'm a bit sick, so sorry if I sound a bit quiet.
Yeah, so anyway. All of you haters who always go to my Instagram profile to shit on Henry for how bad he is at hosting this podcast,
right.
calm down for this week, alright? He cut the boy some slack.
Yeah, this time I deserve to not be shit on. Next time, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Anyway, today is a special episode, so I don't know how many of you guys remember episode 5 with the dog.
What the dog doing?
Today will be something similar, so I will just do my story and you have to try to keep in mind what is the special factor here.
Oh, so, it's like that, so I have to guess.
Yes, it won't be easy this time.
Okay, mister.
Unless
All
maybe
right.
it will be, maybe it will be. So, Sheesh. We'll see. Either way.
More curious, for as of now, to get to your listed topics for this introduction. Well, first of all, should we actually introduce the podcast?
Well, yeah, I was saying I was going to do that before we get into the actual thing. Or
oh, that's
you
what
want
you
me
meant.
To do it
all
now?
Right, well, don't let me stop you, Mr. Episode Hoster himself.
Alright, I'll do it now then. This is the Vagabond Dilemma. We pick an explorer or topic, I guess, sometimes. We talk about it a bit, about the backstory. We talk about how they got lost, and then we search for potential resolutions. Yarr!
Yarr indeed. And as this is now the... This is more about what I do in my podcast, but I don't know which episode exactly this is by count, but it's
27?
It's quite... Maybe. It's quite up there. And we received some constructive criticism and feedback about some of the episodes. So rest assured, it will be incorporated. Or at least we will try our best.
Yes. But I will say, sorry, like, we can't remove Rudy as a host. I'm sorry. That's just not feedback that I can take.
We tried, but we just came to the conclusion that without Rudy, the one and only... What is world? What is the world as a whole? Not even beginning to talk about the podcast.
Yeah, so that's, you know, we take some feedback, but not all of it, you know?
Exactly. So know your limits, twats.
Anyway, I wanted to ask you some questions here for the intro, Rudy.
Go ahead.
Is there anything of food that you've eaten recently that's really stood out to you? Is there anything
that stood out to me? Wow.
Anything tasty? Or nothing in particular?
No, I mean, I haven't gone out to eat in a while because economy.
Surely.
Most of the food that I eat at home varies from noodles to macaroni, and that's the only two options. That's the varying. But I do eat at university, and the thing that stands out for me... Oh, they had fish and chips recently, finally!
Ooh, that's nice.
Which
is,
seems
like
such
that.
a simplistic option to have, and yet, in all the, like, I think I've eaten now my lunch, at least, at university's canteen, for the past 2 months? This was the first time they specifically had fish and chips. So I'm a bit disappointed, University Technical, whatever, Eindhoven. Do better.
Yeah, I mean, a good portion of fish and chips is good, right? It's tasty.
Otherwise I have to eat some fucking broccoli and shit.
Ugh, yuck.
Exactly.
Health food? No way.
No way. What about you, though?
No, not really. Nothing in particular. I haven't been out to eat for a while because of the economy. No, but nothing really. I mean, we should go to dinner again this week, right? We're sort of kind of planning it.
Oh, hell yeah. Because dinner is where the family gets together and it's so lovely. And I love every second of it where my children get together and I can't get anything out of them news-wise because they don't want to talk to me about personal stuff. They never open up. But that seems to be more of a personal problem.
Right. Angry grandpa moment.
Honestly, you know what? I received a compliment and for somebody, I just want to put this out in the world. So for those who don't know, I do suffer from how would you put it? A skin condition, which usually is visible mostly on my face. It's ironic as that sounds for me. But it's basically to do with hormones and metabolism and what stuff. And somebody... I will pride myself on receiving compliments on a daily basis, right? But it's usually to do with my looks. For example, my shirt choice or my boots. And for the first time, I think in months or even years, somebody complimented that my skin looked clear and healthy. And I was like, you know what, love? You made not only my day, my week, and maybe a month.
There you go. That's nice.
Yes.
Starting off with some positivity, huh?
Exactly.
Hell yeah, brother. And then one quick extra topic, since I wanted to talk about this, and feel free to not, like, make a long answer out of this. Just answer the question and we'll go on to the actual episode.
Jesus, this is now an interrogation.
Have you watched the International Baseball Championship recently?
Shut the fuck up!
Alright, let's get into the episode.
Oh my god, so, how dare you ask this to me?
On today's episode... we're going to be talking about the early days of the Dutch colonial empire. Can I get a hell yeah?
Gekoloniseerd! Woohoo! God damn, it was bound to happen at some point. What did I expect?
The goal of the back then... oh, I should add, this is like the 1600s. Like early 1600s, okay?
Yeah.
Like, whew, like, whoa.
Not like, whew, like early, like, whew, like before 7 in the morning early, that kind of stuff. Whew.
Yeah, so I was stalling a bit to pick up the thread. the goal of the then newly established Dutch East India Company, or VOC in Dutch, was to get in on the spice trade, right? But it was not easy considering they were competing with the English and Portuguese for this back then. Not to mention that they were also going to, like, rather unexplored areas at the time, right? Like, we're talking Indonesia, East Asia, etc.
So, and that's where it comes, the fact that Dutch love free stuff?
Maybe? I don't know, is it free?
As an international, it seems to be a defining statement of the Dutch. Dutch love free stuff, although the underlying notion is coming from colonial era.
I mean, it's true, right? I mean, it's also not a coincidence that everybody here is like very tiki obsessed, right? Because I hear that that's not much a thing outside of...
yes.
All right, anyway, this brings us to our boyo of the day, Willem van der Meer. But you can call him Willem.
Willem. Not William, Willem.
Well, you could also call him... William is just the English version, so just call him whatever you want. Born in Rotterdam in 1578. So, he was born into a poor family, but growing up he was already deeply interested in the ships and the oceans, right? And he often spent time in the harbor of Rotterdam, one of the biggest ports in Europe. Hmm. Yeah.
there's some slight advertisement there.
and in his younger years, he worked hard to make his dream of being able to go out to sea come true.
Aww.
And so he tried, like, you know, he was studying
and
learning.
A small little cute colonizer in the making.
Yeah, truly. Hey, sometimes you just want to go out and colonize, and I think that's...
You always,
well,
you
don't know,
I mean,
what
your
to think.
Dreams is what makes you you, right? So go ahead, King.
Right. And if your dream is to oppress others, then you should go for that. Is that
oh,
what you're
I live
saying,
that
Rudy?
Every day. It's a, right. It's honestly a dream, is what it is.
Truly. So eventually, he was able to join the Dutch East India Company as a sailor. Can I get a yar?
Yare, which is the Italian version of yar.
In his years as a sailor, he visited many different places and met a lot of different people. He was also noted to having learned several languages to help with communications, and this might shock you, Rudy, he
yes.
was nice to the natives. Or this was
that
noted.
That honestly does shock me. But, okay, I have a question. How many languages and which languages?
I didn't write that down.
Probably Gen Z standards, three languages, you know, English, Spanish, and whatever is the other one.
I think it was more local languages and not English.
Sure, sure it was. That's what they write in the history books.
I mean, yeah, this is just what's been noted, you know. He could have also been just like a weirdo who didn't learn any language and killed every native on site. But it's like, oh, we have to dress him up a bit for the history books.
Dress him up a bit? After what you said, dressing up a bit? I don't think that would necessarily cut it, but I might be wrong on this.
Well, you know, it is what it is, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, I gotta say, when people say, oh, he was so nice to the natives.
He didn't kill them.
Is it?
Is the underlying. The only
yeah, like, what's a standard?
Nice, yeah, he didn't kill them, probably. Or even that, you know, where other people would have slaughtered the whole tribe, he killed, like, one to make an example.
Well, he only cut one finger off today. He's so nice.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so this was in his early years, right? This was... So after that, he became captain himself and was able to lead some voyages for the Dutch East India Company. And I should note that in these early days, he did already make a couple of voyages, of course, but I didn't write all of them down because it was like, yeah, I mean, whatever.
The Come part... on, like, you're not shit yet, right? So,
yeah,
like,
I mean,
who cares?
I don't care when you're a sailor, but when you're a captain, that's when it's, you know...
I don't know, we hit the good shit.
Exactly. So, on his first mission, the goal was to establish trading outposts in modern-day Indonesia, right? So, they did this first. So, they first went to the Portuguese colony of Malacca. This is where modern-day Malaysia lies.
Isn't that also a curse word in Greek?
I don't know, because I don't speak Greek.
Pretty sure that is the case, but go on.
And this was not like... this sparked some conflict because the Portuguese were somewhat unhappy, right? That the Dutch came along and were like, oi, can we sit here too?
It's like the cool kids' table.
But eventually they managed to reach an agreement. Oh, I have to sneeze. One second.
So Henry has to sneeze, but I'll make a sampling of that. Achoo!
Okay, I didn't have to sneeze anymore, so this was...
I sneezed for you is what happened.
Thanks, King. Okay, anyway. So an agreement was reached and they, like, both kingdoms were able to use the area in relative peace. Mm-hmm. They then went on to establish an outpost in what is nowadays Jakarta, the capital of Indonesia, what was called back then Batavia, I think. And that was used, that was like a crucial location for trade, but also used as the base of operations in East Asia for the spice trade.
Okay.
And then finally, they also went to establish an outpost in Borneo, which is another island, another one of the big islands in Indonesia. But this didn't go too well because some of his crew, and even he himself, fell ill, with some of the crew perishing. But he managed to pull through.
Okay, okay. And by the way, listening very tentatively because I'm very hooked on the mystery part of all of this.
Yeah, I'm curious if you're going to be able to figure it out.
Go on, King.
But it's not, like I said, I'll explain it all at the end. All right.
Yeah, of course.
On his second mission, he went to Japan to establish a trading outpost there as well. However, I don't know if you're familiar with this. This was not as easy because Japan had an isolationism policy back then. Are you familiar with this?
I've only heard passing things, but a refresher course of a minute would help.
Okay, basically, Japan, like, as a kingdom, shut itself down from the outside world. And they didn't, like, allow anybody, like, no Europeans in. With the exception of a small, or the Portuguese were allowed in, and the Dutch were allowed in. But the Portuguese wanted, like, more access, let's say, to the trading goods and stuff of Japan. To which they said, fuck off.
Based.
And they were banished to a small island. So the Portuguese were banished to a small island, and then the Dutch sided with the Japanese, which put them in a more favorable light. And in the end, the Dutch were, like, granted two small ports, or two small trading outposts in the city of Nagasaki. And the Portuguese were kicked out entirely.
Haha, get wrecked.
In the end, meant that the Dutch were the only ones that had, like, access to trade in Japan. So basically exclusive.
I see. How, out of curiosity, if I might ask, how long approximately was this period of self-isolation?
I think it was like over 200 years.
Uh-huh.
Because this was already the case in, like, the 1640s-ish?
Uh-huh.
Or earlier, I don't know exactly. And I think it only ended when the US came and said, you better open up, fuckers.
Oh,
in, like,
God.
The 18-somethings.
Spread the cheeks, brothers.
I mean, basically, yeah. Because they also wanted to get in on the trade, and the US was actually able to force them, like, to stop the isolationism.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, the bottom line is here that Valam played a part in establishing those outposts in Japan. So, this was the first two missions. We have one more, where he went missing, of course. But before that, I think we all know what's coming next.
Oh please. I've been waiting.
It's... Oh, well, okay, let me read this actually how I wrote it in my notes. Well, here we are again, back to my favorite segment, Rudy's Rocks. Rudy's Rocks. On today's episode, I have a surprising picture for you, Rudy, and you get to guess what it is before I actually show it to you, because I have to get it first.
Oh, okay. Well, just so happened that I re-listened to your last episode, and just so happened that we talked about that this is the defining episode for your rocks segment. Well, it's Rudy's Rocks, so my segment, because so far you're on a score 50-50 with Rudy's Rocks not actually featuring rocks.
Yeah. So what do you think we got today?
Oh, I mean, for the entertainment purposes, I would really love your score to be completely ruined and you not posting a rock to me.
Well,
but...
you're wrong, because it's a rock today, bitch.
Ah, it's a rock!
It's a rock. That's right, no more fucking around. Right down to business, it's a plain old rock.
Shall we remind our listeners what are we supposed to do in this segment?
Yes, you can study the picture. And I will do that in the meantime. So, quick explanation. I have sent Rudy a picture just now of a rock, or sometimes other object, but in this case, it's a rock. Yeah, it really is. Rudy will describe it to you, and after that, we will both give it a name. And if you would also like to see this picture of a rock, or other object, but in this case, a rock, feel free to message us, as we'll note to you again at the end of the episode.
You know what I wonder about this segment the most? Is do people actually, from my explanation or yours, actually get the picture close to what it actually is? Because, you know, we try to describe it in the best way we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if people, like, if we do good enough of a job for people to picture something akin of the, you know, same looks that we are looking at right now.
Yeah. Well, I will say that one good friend of ours always asks for the picture after the episode, but I don't think she's ever said whether or not it's accurate to what she was imagining.
I'll squeeze it out of her as an answer. All right. Right, so for this rock, I'm gonna be honest. First of all, you know what this looks like? This seems to be a somewhat tropical rock. Because it is surrounded by, it's hard to take the scale, but I don't think they're necessarily high trees. It seems to be a mountaintop of sorts. They seem to be kind of like those bush trees, you know, like kind of a tree, but it's more looks like a big bush. Something you would see in Madeira, actually, because I've been to that. It's a Portuguese island, and this is kind of a look that you could see there. And the rock itself is a it's not a smooth rock. It's been judged by the flow of time quite harshly, as in it's if time would be a person, then it would have taken its chisel and just split things off of this rock.
Right. That's a nice way to describe it.
Yes. And it kind of looks, if you guys know how the Easter Island heads look like from side, that is profile perspective, it kind of looks a bit like that. Like the shape of the rock looks like one of those heads kind of tilted looking towards the sky. At least the upper part of it looks like that to me.
Yeah.
But imagine that the head having more of a neck than they have in Easter Islands. Because in Easter Islands, I think the overall girth of the statue is somewhat the same. Well, here you have the profile of the face, and then it just goes into some meaty shoulders, and it could be a whole man underneath here.
So, Rudy, any name?
So, the name would
I gotta say, actually, before you get to the name, that what you saw is also basically exactly what I saw as well. This is what I would have described as well.
Well, there you go. And then, as we all know, the Easter Islands look like men heads. So we will give this rock a name. And the name will be William.
What an inspired name.
Yep, because, I'm not gonna say where I got this name, it's completely original, but William just sounds better than it would sound in any other language, as I'm gonna say.
Alright. Sure. I mean, that's fine with me. I was gonna call it the Sleeping Giant, though, because of like what you said earlier.
It could also be called Chad, honestly.
I prefer William in that case.
William Chad, how about that? You know those stupid people who have two names? As in, like, technically one's a surname, but you like, they introduce themselves, and you're like, that's just two first names. Like, what the... You know what I'm talking about. Like,
yes, I do know what you're talking about.
William Jones. Come on, like...
Like, get a real name, loser.
And back to Willem we go.
Well, I just want to say that this rock is located in Japan, you know, on theme. And that's right, it's like a shrubbery, hilly area.
I'm so good at this, I should have been a geographer.
So true, King. Alright, now we already go to the final mission progress. Yare! You're really getting some mileage out of that one, huh?
Yes.
In the mission where Willem disappeared, he was sailing towards the Philippines to create trading outposts there as well, you know, really getting the most out of the area. Mm-hmm. However, the natives there were wary of him. And there were also reports of pirates in the surrounding area as well.
Oh, hey.
So they had established a small camp. And from that point, they explored several islands in the surroundings. And one day he set out for another exploration with a small crew, but he was never seen again. He didn't return to the camp, and he was never seen again.
Is this the point where I have to guess the mystery whatever?
No, that's at the end of the episode.
Okay, okay, okay. So here unless we you
wanna
start the improv.
Toss a guess? Do you want to already guess?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. What you've been talking about, like all of this, right? It's just pure facts. And I tried to pinpoint something you might not be mentioning throughout the story that would be like an obvious detail. But so far, I have only a couple of guesses that are a very long stretch, I feel like.
Okay. Well, do you want to already get to it, or we leave it for
the end? No, I'd rather leave it for then.
I will say that the resolution is also, like, part of it still, so...
Okay, then we definitely leave it for the end.
Alright, ready? Then, go ahead.
Well, finally, we get to pirates, by the way, because I feel like we sometimes mention them over our episodes, but we never have actually gotten... Well, that's how you put it, you know... That towards the ending, there have been reports of pirates in the area. We never had this kind of prom before, so I have to milk it while I still can.
Right.
So obviously, I know what happened. And it's pirates. But, not the ones you would think. Because when you think about pirates, you think about Blackbeard, or you think about the Gentleman Pirate, or, you know, or Jack Sparrow, or it's all on the sea, sea is my life, and yar, and rum, and jolly good fella. Well, little known fact, pirates also work on land. They just called thieves back then.
That's a stretch.
But because Philippines is quite of an area of, you know, it's islandish. There's a lot of islands around.
That's to put it lightly.
Yes. Yeah. It's basically, yes. It's islands. It's all there is. There's no big landmass.
Yeah.
So when you work in a field like that, it would be quite explanatory that it's not easy to labor yourself as a pirate fully because, yes, you are... You're a lot of times you're on the water, but a lot of times you're on the islands too. You're on land, right? So it's either you're a thief or you're a pirate. It's kind of mix and match. But right. These pirates were... This is a whole new area. So, like, imagine ships. There are legendary ships that we all like. Queen Elizabeth's Revenge. Queen Anne's Revenge. Which one was the fucking Blackbeard's?
I don't know.
It's some Queen's Revenge. The Flying Dutchman. But, around the Philippines, where you have to also live, and if you're a pirate that's always in the area, they're smart. So they made not only a ship, they made one of those cartoonish fairy tale floating cities. As if somebody who's seen Vaiana or Moana, depending on where you live, is the same cartoon. There was this one scene with little coconut men where they're basically come into like a big floating ship that later divides into smaller ships. That's exactly what happened there in the Philippines, right? Except when there's a big city like this floating around, you would wonder, Willem, how would you not see a humongous city coming your way on the water, right? You also have to think about, by the way, about the maneuverability of this kind of a city if it's many islands. Well, here's the ingenuity of the Philippine inhabitants at the time. They make a fog machine. A fog machine that the fog they produce from it, so thick, it's like you don't even see your hand when you extend it, right? How they made it work, it's quite easy, honestly. It's, the whole city is made out of wood. And wood burns good. You know this, right?
My god!
Especially, yeah. Especially in the areas of around Ecuador and whatnot. So what they do is they keep building the city like beavers keep always working on their dams, and then the parts that are already quite old and they never repair anything. Because they just burn the old parts. So they're always successfully making fog out of burning wood. And at the same time rebuilding the city on the other side. So it's kind of like if you look at the water. It's like it's always burning on one end. The city's skyline is burning on one end. And the other end keeps building. It's like a snake that's eating itself. And so of course, Willem goes out for patrol. And then suddenly there's this fog and it's burning his lungs and it's like, you know, it's why is it spicy? And suddenly he gets like knocked out by a random coconut. And the next thing he knows, he wakes up on this city and they're like, either you give us the coordinates of your outpost or, well, I mean, you fucking die, mate. And in reality, it's kind of a necessity to be a pirate if your lifestyle is what I just described, because you need, yeah, you can try and get the wood just purely from islands, but you kind of need food, money, to basically, you have to steal to survive that kind of, because you don't have time, your city is fucking burning, right? There has to be an always rush code red scenario, so right. They're like, you fucking better give us the outpost location, fam. and then of course, as a true colonizer, he was like, I'll never betray my mates. And then they offered him free stuff, and Dutch love free stuff, and he was like, holy shit.
And that's all he needed.
Yeah, it probably was like 3 coconuts and then chocolate cream. And then, yeah, and then that's the story of how the whole outpost actually vanished, and that's why the Dutch at the time never established themselves in the Philippines from this expedition.
I like how in this concept of the city, like, maybe like every like couple of weeks, it's like, oh fuck, we have to move again. Our house is going to be burned next.
No, but yeah, like imagine it's dry, it's sunny. The wood, it dries out hella. And then after a while, you make a nice house, but after a while, random logs start falling apart. And they don't know the concept of repairing. They just know the concept of building.
Right. I think if random logs are falling apart, they also don't know the concept of building very well either.
Well, it's a potato patata.
Also, another, like, fun alteration of your story, I think, is what if they didn't have, like, they just saw the floating city and they were like, holy shit, there's pirates, but then they started arguing about the semantics of pirates versus thieves until they crashed into them and then got
kidnapped. They're like, should we attack them? Should we shoot them? They might not be pirates, because, like, we kind of, you know, we're seamen, we kind of, we usually war with the pirates, but these lads, you don't ever know. They seem to be, look, when you look at the semantics, it's a city, it's land or water, but it's still kind of land, they're living there, it's not a ship. And then the next thing they know, they're getting cannonballs, basically somebody screaming eat lead at them.
Well, Rudy, that was a nice elaborate answer as well.
I pride myself in always knowing what happens at any point in history.
Well, I have a different idea, right? We talked about Japan's isolationism policy.
Oh, okay.
What if Willem and the crew were out, you know, they were exploring the Philippines and they happened upon a chieftain.
Okay.
And they were like, they met them. Willem somehow already knew the language because he's so international and shit.
Willem translate.
And basically, when they walked into the village, the natives were like, holy, not again, not more explorers again. I think it's time to go isolate. Because they were already in, it was like, yeah, okay, look, we don't want more of you, but since you're already here, you have to stay now as well. So you can't leave. That's it. Bye.
Bye, outside world.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what could have also happened. Because I know, and listen, you're going to be proud of me for this. I have some friends.
What? Most... That's crazy.
I know. But listen, some friends I have from the Bachelor of Built Environment. Most of them study the sub-bachelor of that bachelor, namely architecture. So I know something. I know some. Yeah, whatever. Nobody cares that you study architecture too.
Bitch.
But I know some passing facts that some people like to throw out sometimes. And I've been privy of the fact that apparently, if you go through big cities, or the example here in the Netherlands sometimes, I notice, if there's two high buildings near each other, it could be the case that they somehow create an air current strong enough that it's always windy between them. Am I right on this?
Yes.
Yes. So it wouldn't be such big of a stretch in physics, right? What if, like, now imagine big, huge islands and water flowing through them. And now imagine a scenario of hundreds of islands and water flowing. It's probably, like, you know, like in a, if you've ever been to aqua parks and there's the lazy river. But imagine that, like, hella to the max speed and across hundreds of islands, right? So you get sucked in and you go on and you never end up, like you're the limbo. Island to island, you start playing ricochet like ping pong ball. You ding 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 from island to island. The natives actually, that's kind of their sport. They watch the ships crash and they're like, they place bets on which ship will make it farther, like to the more inner circle of the archipelagos. So yeah, so our Willem, but he's a Dutch gentleman, right? And Dutch, right. I will give it to your people. You know how to how would I say this properly, politically correctly, without cheating on anyone? Well, you know how to fight the sea. You treat sea as the land itself, and you make land on sea, so I will give it to you that you know something about sea. So Willem is like, Hafter! Listen! I'm not afraid of this. I can shimmy my way through. Somehow I'll shimmy my way through. And then he starts like, you know, meow, one speed, the other one, change the gears, meow, whatever meow. You do with ships. You know, like, that's how ship sounds probably, right? And they're like, oh, raise the mast, starboard, boys, and then they all heave and ho, and then, more you know, the freaking inhabitants of the islands, they're like, holy shit, well, listen, we are all we have a gambling system, but we have a code of conduct. If everybody placed bets and nobody actually proved to be correct, then we just throw the money in the sea. Which is kind of like, and then they start looking at Willem and his ship, and they're like, holy shit. He's about to, like, he already passed half of our bets. He made it a little bit way farther than we thought. And he looks like he's not going about to stop anytime soon. Well, lads, we haven't done this in centuries, but code is code. We going to throw out the money? No. So in their good team spirit, they just fucking... the good old cartoon stuff with the tripping somebody. They, one island, makes a good rope from palm leaves and starch, throws it to the other island. The lads there, they catch the rope, pull on it strongly, they tie it to palm trees, and then Willem is there like, yow, do-do-do-do-do, coming in hot, and then he's like, oh, shit! Too far in, he notices there's a rope from one island to the other, and the ship rams the rope, flips 180, but not horizontally, but vertically, slams into the sea, dead on impact. And all the people are like, yeah, we got the money!
I like that the rope was somehow strong enough to stop this ship going fast as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. It's actually, Filipinos. Filipinos are known for their roping skills.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Everybody's a winner, because the lad who plays the last bet, the closest to the inner circle, he won all the money he betted on. But he was like, you know what, the rest of us, look, the ship's just floating away. Look at them. They're Dutch. They have money. Look at them. It's just floating. And everybody just had a nice field day at the time. Ransacking the ship's leftovers, you know. There might have been some slight cannibalism, but on a good day, why not? It's a barbecue.
I like how this is like the friendliest gambling rink ever as well. Well, Rudy, you want to head to the resolution?
Oh, yes, I've been waiting. Yay!
All right, there is no official resolution.
What the fuck?
Cheers.
You muppet.
No, there is no official resolution.
You're a bottomite and a piece of dovermite.
Only some theories. You want to hear them?
I mean, I already know what happened.
Right.
Because I was there.
Well, one was that they were ambushed by pirates on, like, a big, like, floating city, basically. No, one was that they were ambushed by pirates, and the other theories are, like, that they ran into difficult waters, which ultimately shipwrecked and killed them.
Well, but I've that's been on basically... spot.
Yeah, You got the big two, actually, I just realized. You were right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were never actually found, and that's kind of...
So, is this the moment I'm trying to guess something here?
Or yes, and if you get this... Or is still something you want to add? No, this was it. If you get this, then I will be very impressed.
So, I'm going to be honest, I'm still quite not sure at what exactly, like, is the details I'm trying to guess here, but...
I will say,
yes,
in comparison to the dog episode, I basically didn't give any hints. The only hint I can give is that it was in every segment of the episode.
What? What the hell? In every segment of the episode, so that means introduction in the Rudy's Rock segment too.
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh, whoa. This is cool. It got really interesting now. And in the last segment, you only spoke about... Oh, fuck this. I was listening, I swear. You added to my story, and then you had your own story.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't have much to say today because I'm a sick little boy, so I can use that as an excuse.
Yeah. Okay. I'm just gonna start, it's somewhat based, but mostly spitballing, and you say forget, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I will try to keep it within 2 minutes, my guess is.
It's fine, we have enough time left, don't worry about it.
Was Willem...
Oh my god, the time is up, Rudy, hurry!
Does this have to do anything with somebody's gender?
No.
Does this have to do with the specific locations mentioned in the three voyages he had?
Partly, yes.
Shit. Oh, yeah. What does it have to do? Wait. All the segments. In the first one, it was... No, second one was Japan. The first one was Indonesia. And the third one was to try to be Philippines. All of which they tried to make Dutch posts, and all of it. In the Philippines, did they have Portuguese there too?
No mention of it.
Okay. Is the detail that they were sorry little backstabber weasels and always weaseled their way through, even if somebody else has already established that?
No, but maybe, I guess.
Does it have to do something with the ships?
In a way.
God, they were pirates.
No.
Fuck. They plundered and stole. Well, that's colonization, but.
I guess technically yes, then.
You.
Alright. One more, Rudy, and then I'll give you the actual answer.
Uh-huh, okay. This gets to Bazinger's. His dream was every segment of Rudy's Rocks.
Think good about the intro and about Rudy's Rocks. What could that have in common with the rest of the episode? Maybe study the rock picture very closely.
Yeah, sure. Was he a cannibal?
No.
Because you talked about the food in introduction! Imagine the whole plot twist, the Dutch cannibal! No, but wait, study the picture. I mean, it's a rock on a mountain hill. It's...
I can't tell you the answer, King.
Go on, King. I don't think I'll get this.
Alright. The detail is that Willem is not real. And that this was an entire episode that I wrote by ChatGPT.
Oh my god! Oh, you...
Including the rock, which is AI-generated rock. Like, a picture, AI picture-generated rock.
Wow.
And the intro topics were also, like...
Wow. Just... That's the best plot twist we've ever had on this.
But I will say, like, the historical background of it is not fake, like... I did use that. It's just the Willem and his voyages were not real. But like the historical background of like Japan and isolationism and the Dutch East India Company around that time is real.
You did your research, because I even tossed you questions about the time. Holy shit. Honestly, I mean, I've done many bits for this podcast, but you have done yourself, Henry, today.
Thank you,
applause,
King.
Applause.
Thank you. I was fucking around with it for the first time like a week ago when I was at my dad's place with my sister.
Yeah.
And it was more fun than I thought. And then I tried it out for like an explorer and it actually kind of worked well. So I might as well give it a go for an episode.
So basically this whole thing was, oh my God. You know, this is, I am of the side of the spectrum because I'm not going to go more into detail, but of course you've all been very of the debate around the morality of this and, you know, because I had no idea right now, right? That this is all the ChatGPT or whatnot. But I'm on the spectrum where this amazes me. I'm like, this is so cool that you were able to do this.
I mean, I also think it's cool, but it's definitely like, in a case like this, it's like low stakes. Like, it was also a relatively generic story, you know?
Yes.
It's not like, it's not like I'm trying to like lie to everybody, otherwise I would have not said this at all, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a bit for fun, you know?
This was super cool. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, King.
And on that good note, actually, I'm going to do this in the outro, which is, by the way, now, because I think we have run out of time.
Oh, yeah, the outro, right, I forgot. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to hear us,
Henry will mute himself when he was able to be editing. But what he's trying to say, he's a little sicko boy today, so forgive him. This is just going downhill. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to today's episode of The Vagabond Dilemma. If you want to reach us, the best way that we will definitely check is through Gmail, which is at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to me personally for some alone time, you go to Instagram at 000RUDYS000. So it's 3 0s, root is 3 0s. And there's another option as of this episode, and unfortunately it is kind of, it's not per se fair to everybody of our listeners, but Spotify has recently implemented a new feature where you can leave your feedback right within the app itself. I think if for those who are listening on Spotify, if you go like scroll down on the episode itself, when you open it, there's a question, very generic as of now, I think it's, what do you think of the episode? So you can leave your comments there, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And as of today, we're not aware if Apple supports this too. We'll try to look for it. But yeah, so there's another way of how you can reach us, basically.
Yeah, that was it. Okay, thank you, everybody. Bye.
Bye, and also, a zinger here, I was not real this whole time.